Howard Mansfield is our guest here on the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell, of course, is here. I liked The Bones of the Earth a lot. Bill has watched me pick up stones just about everywhere I am, and I shouldn't do it, and I should leave them where they are, and if I'm told I can't, I don't. But I really love stones, and it was reassuring to know that it wasn't just, I'm not just weird, that there is something.
You're a latent pagan.
Well, maybe it's that. And then you take me to a place that I found intriguing, that was you talking about death and about the grief police. Now, where does that come in as you're thinking about things you want us to slow down and see and think about and feel?
Well, the connection to stone to start is obvious because we mark our graves with stone, and you could not imagine putting a plastic polymer grave on stone on somebody's, you know, it just seemed like so cheap. But we're talking about the landscape, we're talking about how we orient ourselves, landmarks, and one of the things I noticed along the roads up in New Hampshire was these crosses were starting to appear everywhere where people have been accidents. It's much more prevalent in the South. It's one of these things that has moved from South to North, and I think maybe from Latin America all the way up. And I found it really disturbing. I thought, well, why should I be disturbed by this? What is going on here? And what is happening is our rituals of grief, the way we mourn, are in tremendous change right now. And then when you go read the history of it, from the very beginning, there have been a lot of restrictions and a lot to be said about how much grief is considered acceptable. And it's unusual because if you look at the same period, there's very little said, say, about what a town common should look like, or what your front area of your house, even before the idea of lawn came along, or what a city street should look like. But my God, your grave, people had all sorts of comments about how high your headstone is, if you should have a footstone, if the earth should be mounded up, how long you should be grieving, how you should prepare the dead, who should prepare the dead. And this has continued on until today, where it got turned over to the funeral director, and a lot of the emotion got drained out of it or taken away from the family.
The grief police.
Exactly. how to grieve. And there's all sorts of prescriptions about trying to lower the monuments kindly until you get what is considered to be the modern lawn cemetery, where it's flush and they can mow very easily, and there's no epitaphs, and you can leave flowers, but only on certain dates. And in fact, you don't really own your grave. You essentially buy a legal easement to put your body there, or something, some kind of language like that. Ingenious. But what's happening is people are saying, well, no, I don't feel that. I want to come mourn my friend who was killed in a motorcycle right here. I want my daughter left the earth right here in this spot, which again almost goes back to saying Washington at his elm tree or something like that. This was the last spot on earth where this loved one, this person I loved, was. This, for me, is the place. And so what's happening, particularly since the 1960s, is a tremendous change in mourning rituals. People are kind of making it over. There's a lot of things being done with video, a lot of ceremonies being sort of made up on the spot, a lot of people cremating. Cremation is huge, becoming a huge percentage of things, people spreading ashes on the landscape. And it's because I think they have not enough grief, not enough emotion has been allowed within the graveyard. It's crazy as it sounds. And this kind of confrontation is going on all across the country. You can pick up a newspaper, there's some poor family who's lost a child, terrible loss, and they've decorated the child's grave with pinwheels and teddy bears and flags and candles. And other people will say, that's terrible. That's unsightly. That's terrible. And the Catholic Church has gotten into a tussle with veterans, keeping flags on veterans' graves too long, you know, and all sorts of things like that. And it goes on all across the country because people are trying to say, you know, we essentially did really want the epitaphs and the little lambs and the vines, and you've made us take it away. Now we're trying to sort of bring that back.
And it is in line with your talking about finding a center of the earth, isn't it?
Well, exactly. It's how you relate to it. And people are saying, this spot, this is my landmark. This is the center of, you know, this is where I can come here and still recall my love for this person. And why in my hour of grief are you denying me this smallest symbol?
It's back.
What's it to you?
It's back to that Yankee thing. It's the tussle between the individual and the community.
Yeah, it is. And in fact, another thing about the Yankee character, which I don't talk too much about in this book, but is that Yankees are great scolds.
Scolds.
Absolutely. This is my own theory. But if you read Henry David Thoreau, I mean, what is Walden?
John Adams actually did pretty well.
John Adams, a tremendous scold. He couldn't believe how people worship Washington, to go back to that. But you read Thoreau, and you know, everything my neighbors believe to be good, I believe to be bad, and so forth.
To be scolded is not something most of us seek.
No. And it just happens to be a real strain in New England. And I think from the Southern perspective, I think that maybe that's the first thing they'd identify, remembering, A, the abolitionists, and then everything else afterwards, and all these edicts coming out of the North telling them how to run things in the South. But scolding, it's a big part of it.
This is not just, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, about those rituals, you know, at a deeply emotional time when we don't seem to be dealing with emotions. Well, we also have this confluence of cultures, even in New England. We, you know, it's easy to think of it as a monolithic culture, and it obviously is not, but particularly in the country as a whole. We've got people coming out of radically different traditions from the South, from the North, East, West,
all
running into each other, and with this dynamism you talk about, so that, you know, what is appropriate behavior becomes extraordinarily difficult to understand.
And it changes. And I think, unfortunately, the people who are left most confused are people who we sort of, at one point, say, yes, you take these ceremonies, you're in charge. And then some years later, we come back and say, We can't stand what you're doing here. This is terrible. And they're like, what are you talking about? You know?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I'm listening to these roadside attractions, these crosses that, you know, frequently get decorated.
For years.
Extravagantly. Listening to you describe it, and it never occurred to me, there's sort of an animistic quality
really,
to it that I would never have occurred to me if you hadn't.
Older religions, there would be all sorts of sacred shrines and trees all across the landscape. And when I was in Switzerland a couple years ago hiking with some friends, and we come across these little shrines to the Virgin or something like that, but they'd always be by creeks, well, I didn't call them creeks here, but by waterfalls or by water or a very significant landscape spot. And I was just so curious, you know, what was here? Is this a conversion of an old pre-Christian sacred site? It's because often that's what happened. Of course, or did someone just run out here last week and put this, you know, Blessed Mother? You don't know, but probably this.
But the
conversion,
the instincts are the same instinct, regardless of the continuity of the geography.
They are the same.
The instincts seem to be the same. You got me thinking about Axis Mundi, and what does it mean in a modern context? And I wasn't happy with the best answer I could come up with, but I want to float it out there anyway. It seems that we have the only Axis Mundi most of us can point to, the only constant, sort of, is ourselves, which is, you know, it seems to be a very dissatisfying place to be.
And very American, where we have a real stress on the individual. In other cultures, you might have a different answer.
Oh, absolutely. But, the self-centeredness, but that the axis runs starting at the top of my head down to the soles of my feet, and the world rotates around me.
You know, I hadn't thought of that, and I think that's a really interesting interpretation. I'll have to think about it some more. And if that's the case, is it just may be, hence how limiting and how cut off you're always going to be if everything begins and ends in yourself. Obviously, it's what every religion ultimately says is, you know, forget the self.
You're part of a bigger whole. Well, it's also that which the Yankee invites us to have, some sort of a balance between the self and the community. And if we have lost something in the course of the 200 years moving out of the coastal states that started the country, the notion of community has taken a real beating, and there may be a time
absolutely
for it to come back. You do an interesting thing that we can talk about when we come back. Well, we can talk about it right now. You tell me that one has an option to not pick ugly. And as I came across just that line, that why not make it beautiful if there's the option, and you had a bypass coming through not far from where you lived. Why not pick beauty instead of ugly?
Yeah, why not?
Well, it was one of those, and then I went back thinking about all these other things of which you had spoken. The bridges you like best are beautiful because somebody cared.
Yeah, they have this integrity to them.
The question of beauty is an important one here, isn't it?
And the contrast is the same. The answer to that is utilitarian. I mean, thinking of that highway, and there's always a utilitarian, and a utilitarian does not necessarily match up well with the aesthetic sense, and it seems that that's part of the conflict.
It is, and it's also that I think what happens is when someone presents a plan, all the other options just leave the room. And it becomes almost like a fact that moment because it's on paper and people don't realize, yeah, that's an idea. That's a pretty good idea probably. But there's always three, four, a dozen ways of doing things. And we can do better. We can do it differently. And we can even maybe extend more of our public treasury to do it better.
The idea of having more than one option, that it isn't either or. I do find time and again that I get trapped in the either or, and that may be a cultural phenomenon. And when you say, okay, we made it, we picked this, the end, doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, and yet, I mean, yeah, I see it all the time in public debates about new building and changing the landscape. You know, the expert is up in front of the room with the plan, and you want to say, well, wait a minute, let's just go back to the blank paper. And let's all just sit here and talk about what we like in this landscape, for just to keep it landscape-centered for a moment, and what works in that landscape, and how can we preserve that. And I'm on a committee in our town right now wrestling with some stuff on a very handsome Main Street that's just going over and over the same
question. And it's hard.
It's extremely hard, because it's much better to open up the cookie-cutter book, and you got these specifications by the whatever national professional association, and that gets the funding, because that's been set up. And then, you know, plunkety-plunkety-plunk, it comes out, and everybody's dissatisfied on some level.
The screaming example of that, and it goes to this Axis Mundi notion, is the argument about replacing the World Trade Center. And it has it possesses a great deal, and I really don't particularly like talking about 2001, but that sense of the center of the universe, you know, the AirSat's spiritual center, certainly the commercial center. And then you get this huge, nobody can agree about the aesthetics or the symbolism.
No.
But we can agree that we're going to be back in a moment. This is the Paula Gordon Show. That was Bill Russell. This is Howard Mansfield. The three of us will be back in a moment for a couple more minutes. Please be with us.